Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here this morning. See if that will come up. Got just one slide on the screen that's going to come up later if they get it up there. I don't know what happened last time I was up here. It was like an hour and something, so it's not normal. So today will not be that long, I promise you. But just good to be in God's house again. Before I get started, just a little bit about this poster. So that kind of goes with the handout that you have, the descriptions and the scripture. So I had found this poster. I forget what Lucky and I was. We were somewhere. It was a long time ago. Well, not that long. Only about maybe 10 years ago. So, because I know Ann would say something like, okay, back in the Stone Ages. But I had seen this poster, and I said, wow, that poster is amazing. And so it talks about who we are in Scripture. And I said, this is awesome. And so that's kind of the basis of my message today. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, who made us, created us, and made us in your image. And it goes below the surface, not just how we look, but our character, our nature, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We are made in your image. So Lord, we are grateful for the knowledge that brings this information through the Bible to us about who we are. So it reinforces who we are in your name. Not anything that we can do of ourselves, but because you live in us and through us. So we thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In his name we do pray. Amen. So good morning again to everyone here. To those who are watching via social media, we thank you also. We had a special week last week, if you were here. Renee and Gary had their baby girl, Sierra, dedicated last week. So that was a special thing, too. And just in case some of you don't know, there's going to be a baptism after the church service. It won't be anyone here, but the pastors, our sister church in North Augusta, there's two members who are going to get, they don't have a baptism there, so they're going to come here after the service and get baptized. So that's something if you're interested in, you can hang around or come back and be here for that. But that's going to take place later on today. And always keep on my calendar, just a reminder, we know how this world is. You know, this is, guess what day it is for the war in Ukraine? 234. So this is day 234 of the war in Ukraine. So we pray for those people also there. So on to the message. So this is October, right? And it's the middle of October, the 15th. So the time is just moving. You know, I remember when it was February and there was, you know, Valentine candy in the aisles and Valentine cards, and here it is October already. You know, the next holiday is going to be, what, well, we got Halloween the 31st. We got, well, some people don't consider a holiday, but citizen-wise or civil-wise, it's the next one. But we have Veterans Day coming up, November 11th. Then we got Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, the 24th. December, we have Hanukkah on the 19th, Christmas the 25th, and Kwanzaa on the 26th. So, you know, to be a kid again would be awesome. Because I remember as a kid, you didn't think about, okay, we got to get the food and we got to drive to the grandparents' house and all this kind of stuff. Kid, you just got in the car and you showed up and you met your cousins or whoever, and you just had fun, you know. But as the adults, you know, all that hard work came in. And so, you know, as a kid, I know going to my grandparents' house, you may have to help chop some wood. You know, they got a fireplace and you help doing some of that. Raymond's shaking his head, so he remembers some of that too. You may have to chop some wood for the fireplace, or if you're a girl, you may be helping the kitchen with some cooking, you know, so you do some of those things too. you know, flying there or driving, you know, all that kind of stuff. But so those are always times to look forward to. But, and that's for most of us. But for some of us, the holidays isn't really a, to some of them, it's not a good time of year. To some people, it's a downside. Some people suffer from depression for various reasons. You know, they may have lost their job, and now it's holiday season. Everybody's being happy, and but now they're trying to figure out what to do. They may have lost a loved one, you know, and now being home and seeing that person not there, the empty chair, reminds them of what has happened. Especially with Veterans Day, you know, someone may have been killed or lost in a war or conflict, and that can be overwhelming too. And then some people are homeless. I know in Aiken they have the something at the aisle, not aisle, the alley, and they have a big spread of table. What's it called? Somebody know? I thought somebody said something. Yeah, the one table, right. And they have these tables set up, and they have food, and the homeless can come out and get something to eat. So that's something good that they do there, you know. So it's always not the best time for some people. In some situations, may even seem hopeless. And as I think Ann mentioned in her cyber school, some people want to commit suicide, and that does happen. So we don't wish for that, but sometimes that does happen. But there is good news. No, there's great news. We have a friend who's that friend we have? Jesus. And we studied last quarter in the crucible, he walks with us every step of the way. So we have a high priest. We have a great high priest that intercedes for us. Now, I don't have the scripture listed. Usually I have them listed, but there's, I only have a couple, so that's why they're not there. I just wanted to focus on this mainly. But Hebrews 4:14 and 15. Jesus feels our pain because he became flesh, not just for himself, but for us. And he didn't, it's not just he became flesh and okay, he just, no, and went through the motions. No, he became like us. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So scripture is saying, hold on to what you know in the scripture. Just hold on. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus has gone through what we are going through. Has gone through what you are going through, you know. So you don't have to go through it alone. I want to read in a clear word. A clear word, I always like how the clear word brings it out on some of the scriptures. Some is about the same, but some things a little more. In the clear word in 14, it says, he gave us a wonderful high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who came to live with us and who has now gone up to heaven into the very presence of God. So we know that through the sanctuary, Jesus is there at the right hand of God. He's still ministering in the sanctuary as high priest, but in the heavenly one now, ministering there on our behalf. So let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. We don't have a high priest who doesn't understand us or who's incapable of feeling pain. And here's the last sentence. He was tempted in every way. I know that's what the King James says too, but this brings it out more. He was tempted in every way more powerfully than we will ever be tempted. So whatever we're going through, and I know people going through various different things, but what Jesus went through on this earth when he was here, those 33 and a half years, he was tempted more than what we will ever go through. So just think about that. You know, we have our ups and downs, good days, bad days, some worse than others. But Jesus has gone through even more. So we just give it to him. He will take it. He's like sitting next to you, standing next to us. And he's saying, just give it to me. I'll take it. Trust me. It works. It works. Okay, let me go to the next one. Okay. So Next scripture I want to read before we get to the actual poster. In Jeremiah 29:10 and through 13. So that's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So now we know this is talking about when Israel was taken captivity into Babylon, and the promise, the prophecy was that you're going to be there for 70 years, get comfortable, you know, make your homes, make your gardens, do all that kind of stuff, because you're going to be there 70 years. So you're going to have to deal with that. But he gave a promise. He said, after this, I am going to take you back home. I am coming to get you. So for them, they knew that in a real physical sense. They knew, okay, we're here in Babylon, but we're going to go be taken back to Israel. So we're not in that same situation physically. We're not like, okay, we're taken and we're going to have to go be taken back to our homeland. But in a way, we're still kind of in bondage. This earth, what happened when Adam sinned? What did God say about the earth? He said, the earth will be cursed because of you, Adam. The ground is not going to yield its strength. You're going to have to work hard to till for what you want. You're going to have to work in the sweat of your brow, that kind of thing. So we're still in that kind of bondage, but spiritually, we're still in that type of sinful bondage. You know, we've asked God for forgiveness, so we're considered saints now, but we still have the effects of sin. We just mentioned autumn, you know, the leaves turning colors. That wasn't supposed to happen, but that happens now. It's a beautiful thing, but that wasn't God's original intent. So spiritually, we still have things we go through, things we see, maybe on TV, at our job. We see things that remind us of the sinful condition that this world is still in and that we have to live in it. And the Bible says that. It says, be in the world, but not of the world. So Satan is still doing everything he can to make life hard for us, to remind us of where we are, and to try to convince us, just give up. You can't fight me. Just, you know, it's out of your hands. You know, but he don't realize it is out of our hands when we place it in Jesus' hands. So there's good news that Jesus is coming again. We know that's good news. But do we have to wait? Do we just sit here and, okay, Jesus is coming again. I just got to deal with what I've got going on, and, you know, hopefully things will get better, and, you know. No. Jesus said, no, we don't have to wait until he comes again. He is here with us now. He's ready to help us. So thank goodness for that. So the Bible has all these promises, all these scriptures that let us know we don't have to wait, that we can hold on to Jesus now. And we're just going to go through some now. The first one, if you're seeing it on your flyer, it says what? We are believers saved by grace through faith. So when we accept Jesus, he said he would take, he's already taken on our infirmities, and he will take them on now. So you don't have to have that guilt. You don't have to have that burden that's holding you down. You know, give it to Jesus. He'll take it away. He says, you are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 says, you are accepted. You know, a lot of times we go places and we're rejected. You know, we're trying to do something. Oh, okay. But with Jesus, you're accepted. There's no turning away. It don't matter what it don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what condition you're in. Jesus said, come on, you're accepted. We are beloved of God. That's amazing. We are beloved of God. Even in our sinful condition, we can't change our condition. But Jesus said, come to me and I will change you. I love this. This is my favorite one. We are servants of the Most High God. Think about that. The Most High God. all these, we used to talk about Sabbath school, all these other gods that say you're reincarnated, or you come back as this, or, you know, evolution. No, we are servants of the Most High God, the God that took some mud and dirt and made us and bent down. And, you know, when he breathed into our nostrils, I mean, like when you do CPR, he had to touch us to breathe into us. That's amazing. I just have the visualizations of what's going on. We are new creatures. It says, take off the old, put on the new. We are dead to sin, alive to God. So, you know, when you're dead, we just talked about it, you don't feel anything. So if you think about it, if you're dead to sin, sin can't touch you. Sin can't push your buttons if you're dead. So when the devil says, okay, I can push that button on Kenny, I can get this reaction. No, I'm dead to sin, devil. But you're not touching anything. You're touching the dead body as far as you're concerned. I'm alive in Christ. We are walking in the newness of life. Think about that, newness of life. Not this old life, but newness of life. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. We're going to have the baptism later on today. That's awesome. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means God dwells in us. I mean, I know we say that, and we know we have conceptually and maybe intellectually understand what that means, but think about it personally. The Holy Spirit, the Godhead, one person of the Godhead is actually dwelling in you. That's amazing. You are clothed with Christ. Remember, I know it doesn't say in the Bible, but Ellen White brings out that Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they had this clothing of light, had this light that was around them. That's what it's talking about, Christ's righteousness. You are holy. What does holy mean? It's not some magical word that, okay, Hamada, Hamada, now you're holy. No, that's not what that means. It means that holy means what? You are set apart, you are sanctified for a purpose. So God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And each person's purpose may not be the same as someone else's. We all have been given talents, we've been given gifts to do certain things. So God has put that in each and every one of us. That's amazing. So you are blameless. That's the guilt part. The devil wants to tell you, okay, Kenny, you know, you did this thing last week, and so that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. And he wants us to have that guilt and want to remind us when we see certain things, okay, yeah, I remember I did that, whatever. God says no. What does it say? You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are beloved of God. Ask God for forgiveness. It's in the past. Satan comes, hey, you, it's in the past, Satan. God, forgive me. Try something else. He has to go away. He can't come. He can't come back no more with that. You can't let him. You are at peace with God. God gives us peace. That's the main thing a lot of people want. They want peace. You know, we have this guilt. We have this burden. What are we going to do? But when you, like we said in Sabbath school, when we trust God and give it to him, that takes a burden off of your shoulders. And God says, I got it. Now, it doesn't mean things are going to always go to wherever you want them to go. I want to make that clear. Everything's not going to be a bed of roses and a bowl of peaches. And that, well, I mean, if you like apples, whatever your favorite fruit is, you may not like peaches. But God will give you peace to know that he is going to work things out in our behalf. May not go things that we want in this life, but we know in the latter, things are going to be, we come in that first resurrection, that trumps everything. That takes over everything, presidents. You are Christians. That's our, what's our commission, Matthew 28? That's our commission. Go and make other Christians. Bring other people into the church. I think Tim mentioned his sermon. Well, we was talking before, you know, we can't wait until people become Christians to bring them into the church. Do I need to say that again? We can't wait till people become Christians to bring them into the church. Some people are going to be smelly. Some people may still be smoking. Some people may still be drinking. Some people may be doing things that we don't like. But they may have said, hey, I need to know more about this Jesus. Do we say, okay, we give you about a month when you can clean up and get this stuff out of your life, then you can come on back. No, we gotta bring him in now. Well, he smelled like cigarette smoke. Okay. Do you remember the sanctuary service when they had to bring the blood and they had to clean the temple once a year? Can you imagine all that blood in one spot? Can you imagine that smell? Jesus said, that's what we smell like. So forget the cigarettes, forget the alcohol. I've been in that situation. I worked at a prison. There was a guy, he would cut himself and he would take his blood, he would cut his ankle or his calf, and he would paint his room with his blood. I'm telling you, when I first walked down that hallway and smelt that, I smelled a lot of stuff, dead skunks, dead dogs, whatever, you know, whatever. I have never smelled a smell like that before. And that's just from like at half an hour or an hour that he had done that. Can you imagine blood that's been on the ground for a whole year, what that would smell like? That's what we smell like to God when we are living in sin. So, like I said, forget the alcohol, the cigarettes, the whatever. We got to bring them in. Everything else, nothing else matters. That we can fix all that stuff later. Well, God will fix that stuff later. But you are born again. We are new creatures. Think about it, born again. Nicodemus had to get that straight. I'm sorry for laughing, but you know, Nicodemus won the Sanhedrin. He's one of the big shots. Jesus said, you gotta be born again. Huh, what are you talking about? I gotta go back in my mother's womb? Come on, dude, are you that dense? No, he's talking spiritually. I'm the same way sometimes. I read something like, okay. God said, wait a minute, hold on, Kenny, you're not that dense, are you? Come on, give the program. You are partakers of the divine nature. Think about that. We are partakers of the divine nature, not the human nature, divine nature, and for us being sinless, being how God wants us to be. All these scriptures are amazing. Children, we are empowered by God. So not empowered by Satan, because that just leads to destruction, death, disease, all that kind of stuff. We are empowered by God to do his will. Now, it doesn't say like on Star Wars and you have the force and you can do what you want. No, don't work that way. Nope, sorry. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit to do Jesus' will. He said, ask whatever you want in my name and it'll be given. Can't be asked in Kenny's name. Well, I want this, Lord. I said, that's not what Jesus would ask for. So why are you asking for it? No. We are one in children of promise. I must get that one. Children of promise. That talked about the inheritance. We're going, the meek shall inherit the earth. Think about that. Whatever you own now, it's going to get burnt up. Car, house, clothing, whatever. All that, it's all gone when Christ comes back. Well, not when he comes back, but at the end of the judgment. It's all burnt up. But what God has in store for us, he can take all this. I don't care. Because what he's got in store is going to be a whole lot better than anything we have on this earth. You are one in him. Think about that. We are one with Christ. That's what he says. That's what he promises. Everything Christ has for us, we have the same access to. The creator of this universe. And we're going to have access to everything he has. That just blows my mind. I'm sorry. That just wow. You are the body of Christ. Body, many parts, one function. The arm, leg, feet, head, ear, eye, organs. You can't say, well, I don't need this pinky finger. No. The pinky finger going to have a little upset with that, you know. So, but we're all work together. The brain can't say, I'm the most important part. You may be, but if you don't have the rest of the body, the brain's no good, right? Got to have everything else together. You are seated in heaven. Spiritually, we are seated in heaven. We have, the Bible says that we have eternal life with Christ right now. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life right now. Now, eternal life, not the same thing as immortality, because Christ is going to grant us immortality when he comes. But spiritually, we have eternal life with Jesus right now. No other religion can say that. You are the kingdom citizens. Think about that. Kingdoms. We're not on the outside. We're in the kingdom. That means there's a king who has a government that he rules over. So we're a part of his kingdom. Oh, that just, Royal priesthood. And that's one we know very well. We are royal priesthood. But we got to act like it. Not royalty as what the world considers, but royalty that God talks about. What did Jesus say when the one king wanted to have a banquet and he invited all his friends? Well, I got a marriage to go to. I got this. I got to go break in this oxen. I got to go do this. He said, go ask everybody in the streets and the byways and the highways and in the ditches and bring them in. Well, we still got room. Bring in some more. That's what God is talking about. He didn't say, okay, wait till they finish 2300-day prophecy and did a Bible study, then you can bring them in. No, he said, bring them in now. Bring them in. We are vessels of honor. Did we cover that before? Vessels? So we are containers of the Holy Spirit to do his will. Salt of the earth. Said the salt has lost its flavor. What good is it? It's just thrown in the street, you know, thrown on a dunghill. It's no good. So we've got to have that saltiness of Christ, of what the scripture says we are to be. So when we mingle among those we come in contact with, family, friends, co-workers on the job, strangers at the grocery store, whatever, we give a little salt off to them of Christ. Not our saltiness. It's got to be Christ's saltiness, okay? Light of the world, we got to shine in people's hearts and in their minds of what...
I think I saw something in that
building. Shine in their lives. But we got to reflect the life of Christ, right? That's the light we're reflecting. That's the light we're shining. It's Christ, right? Not ours. It says his. Soldiers of Christ. I've been in the military. Some people have been in the military. So we kind of understand what that means when it says soldiers. I mean, we are in a war. We are in a battle. But it's not to kill people, but to save them. Exactly. It's to fight against Satan and his demons. So, and you know, it took me a while to I had to get this concept. But when someone does something to you, we have to look at it, and I heard someone else say it, it's not them. It's Satan. It's not that person. So we can't, well, this person, someone says something to me, da, 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 so I'm going to go, no, it's not that person. It's Satan. What did Jesus say to Peter? When Jesus said, look, I got to be crucified, and then I'll come back. And Peter said, no, God forbid that happened to you. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he knew Satan was talking through Peter. Peter had just before in a couple of sentences said that you are the Messiah, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, yeah, you didn't say it, the Holy Spirit said it through you. So one minute you got Peter saying something that God is ordained, in the next few sentences, Satan speaking through him. So that's where we have to be. We have to be soldiers, understanding that we are in a war. And it's not a physical war, but it is a war of words. It's that type of debate that we're going through. Fishers of men. Now, we got to take this the right way. So we are fishers of men. Jesus said, he didn't say, okay, you're going to be cleaners of fish. No, didn't say that. He said, you fish for them, I will clean them up. But we want to clean them up. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, you are fishers of men. Then we shine that light. We put that salt into them. We be that example. We be the vessel of the Holy Spirit to be in their presence. And then that presence with the Holy Spirit, they will say, oh, you know what? I see y'all act different. Y'all dress different. Y'all talk different. Maybe I need to change how I do things. That's the Holy Spirit working in that person's life. That's not us. Well, you got to wear this and you can't be this and you got to. No. Here's Jesus. This is what Jesus did. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit would do his job. That's what we have to remember. Ministers of reconciliation. I love this one. So Jesus was made to reconcile us back to the Father, to take this sinful nature out of us, back in how he was in that perfect image that Christ is, that Adam was before he sinned. So that's what we are. We are ministers of reconciliation to bring people, I was about to say bring people into the church, but there you go. Is to bring them to Christ, which they can come to the church, because I say this to somebody sometime. If you anybody got a garage at home? I have a garage. If I go stand in my garage, does that make me a car? No. Just because I'm in my garage don't make me a car. So just because you're in the church don't make you a Christian. So we have to bring people to Christ, not bring them. We got to bring people to the church. Bring people to, no. Yeah, this is where we come to meet. We can meet at somebody's house. We can meet out in the woods, wherever. But it's to bring them to Christ. That's what we are to be. And then this last one, we are victorious. Think about that. All this stuff, Satan, sin, the guilt of sin, the effects of sin, all that's gone. But that's in the future. But right now, even in the midst of all this mess, we are still victorious because we can know, okay, Satan's going to throw this at me. I'm going to block that off. You know, that's what Jesus did. He said, it is written. So when we have a question, Satan tries to trick us some way like he did Eve, we can say, nope, it's written by Satan. Okay, no. Have a nice day. All right. So in closing, here's your cue, Ann. In closing, I just want to say sometimes we go into difficult times, and who isn't? You know, we're all going through difficult times. I was telling Henry about something happened a few weeks ago. And it was like somebody had stabbed me in my heart. And it wasn't my wife. It was just, you know, but it's just something you don't expect from family, but you have to give it to God. Yes. And it can be rough. But knowing that Jesus, that we have a Savior that loves us more than anything we know. I want to read that scripture again. Excuse me one second. Yeah, here we go. It says, to God, that was the King James we read on the screen, but in the clear word it says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, to God who is able to do immeasurably far beyond what we can ask or think. Now think about that. I mean, we talk about words and language. That just blows my mind. He is able. You know, if my brother calls me and said, hey, Kenny, I'm on the interstate. I got a flat tire. Can you come help me change it? Yeah, I'm on my way. And I may, on my way there, 2 miles away, there's another accident, and I can't get there. I got to say, hey, bro, I'm on my way, but I'm at an accident. I can't get there because this is in my way. I'm willing to come help you, but I'm not able to. For God, there is no barrier. There is no hindrance. There is nothing that will stop him. He is going to be there. He is going to be there and make it. So far beyond what we can ask or think. Now that's already awesome. But here's the rest of it. And who wants to do even more? Then can you? That's just, he is able. So not only can he do it, he is able. Nothing can stop him to do immeasurably far beyond what we can ask or think. So whatever my little pea brain can think of, he's already thinking way beyond that, as far as I'm thinking. And then it says, who wants to do even more for us by his power in our lives. So he wants to work in us. Can you imagine? That's just awesome. So whenever, you know, we have prayer requests. We have, you know, people say prayers and stuff. Sometimes we are the answer to that person's prayer. Yeah. So we got to be in tune with God, because God said, hey, I need to go over here and do so-and-so. Well, you know, why do you want me? You know, what is that coming from? No. Somebody sent a prayer up to God. God says, I'm going to send you. You go do this. You are that answer to that person's prayer. Can you imagine going to heaven And this person saying, Lord, I had a prayer and you answered it, and I thank you, and say, oh, well, I sent this person here to go do that for you. They're going to come look you up and give you the biggest hug, you know? So I'm saying, well, once we get to heaven, you know, and that comes out. So, but yeah, that's just amazing. 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So when we have trials, we have tribulations, you know, we have all those things come up, but we have to trust in the Lord that he is going to bring us through it. And I just read this last scripture in closing, Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the promises that we find in the scriptures that let us know that no matter what we're going through, that you are there with us. You carry us, you comfort us, you even send your angels to minister to us as well. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of believers that comfort us as well, that give us a kind word, that let us know that, yes, it's a difficult time, but Jesus is here, and we can make it, and we will make it together. So, Lord, give us the strength, the courage to trust your words, that you will always be with us. Be with us now as we depart this place, and be with us throughout the week, that may we be a blessing to those we come in contact with as well. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.